content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our April 2024 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state, and if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of the program as well. This month, we'll look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of March at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin the program today with a look at a new book by J.D. Robb. It's called Random in Death. In this crime thriller from number one New York Times bestselling author J.D. Robb, a small and easily concealed weapon wreaks havoc, and the killer is just a face in the crowd. Here's the plot. Jenna's parents had finally given in, and there she was at a New York club with her best friends watching the legendary band Avenue A, carrying her demo in hopes of slipping it to the guitarist Jake Kincaid. Then from the stage, Jake catches her eye and smiles. It's the best night of her life. It's the last night of her life. Minutes later, Jake's in the alley getting some fresh air, and the girl from the dance floor comes stumbling out, sick and confused and deathly pale. He tries to help, but it's no use. He doesn't know that someone in the crowd has jabbed her with a needle, and when his girlfriend Nadine arrives, she knows the only thing left to do for the girl is call her friend, Lieutenant Eve Dallas. After everyone on the scene is interviewed, lab results show a toxic mix of substances in the victim's body. And for an extra touch of viciousness, the needle was teeming with infectious agents. Dallas searches for a pattern. Had any boys been harassing Jenna? Was she engaging in risky behavior or caught up in something shady? But there are no obvious clues why this level-headed 16-year-old, passionate about her music, would be targeted. And that worries Dallas, because if Jenna wasn't targeted, if she was just the random, unlucky victim of a madman consumed by hatred, there are likely more deaths to come. The title of this book is Random in Death, and it's by the very popular author J.D. Robb. The next book for today, Never Lie, an addictive psychological thriller by Freda McFadden. Newlyweds Tricia and Ethan are searching for the house of their dreams, but when they visit the remote manor that once belonged to Dr. Adrian Hale, a renowned psychiatrist who vanished without a trace 4 years earlier, a violent winter storm traps them at the estate, with no chance of escape until the blizzard comes to an end. In search of a book to keep her entertained until the snow abates, Tricia happens upon a secret room, one that contains audio transcripts from every single patient Dr. Hale has ever interviewed. As Tricia listens to the cassette tapes, she learns about the terrifying chain of events leading up to Dr. Hale's mysterious disappearance. Tricia plays the tapes one by one late into the night. With each one, another shocking piece of the puzzle falls into place, and Dr. Adrian Hale's web of lies slowly unravels. And then Tricia reaches the final cassette, the one that reveals the entire horrifying truth. Sounds like quite a thriller. It is called Never Lie, and it's by Freda McFadden. Now let's turn to a new book by James Patterson. He writes a whole lot of books, and we don't usually have a lot of detail about the plot, so I found a kind of a fun and interesting review about this particular book. It's called Holmes, Marple, and Poe, The Greatest Crime-Solving Team of the 21st Century, and it's by James Patterson along with Brian Sitz. And this is a review that was written by Marlene Harris in January of this year, 2024. Crime, murder, who you gonna call? In New York City, three intriguing, smart, and stylish private investigators open Holmes, Marple, and Poe investigations. Now, who are these detectives with famous names and mysterious, untraceable pasts? Brendan Holmes, the brain, identifies suspects via deduction and logic. Margaret Marple, the eyes, possesses power of observation too often underestimated. And August Poe, the muscle, chases down every lead, no matter how dangerous or dark. The agency's daring methodology and headline-making solves attract the attention of NYPD detective Helene Gray. Her solo investigation into three unknowable competitors rivals the best mysteries of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Agatha Christie, and Edgar Allan Poe. Here's the review by Marlene Harris. Names to conjure with, aren't they? Which is very much the point when Brendan Holmes, Margaret Marple, and August Poe open their private investigating business in a formerly run-down bakery that no one else was willing to buy. Now, the bakery was, once upon a time in 1954, the scene of a grisly murder, a cold case that is right up Margaret Marple's alley, whoever she might really be. It's also the first link in a nearly endless chain of cases that doesn't look like it's even started yet and doesn't seem to have any end in sight. Now, as much as this Holmes, Marple, and Poe resemble their originators, and both Holmes and Poe's cases to their detriment, we know it's mostly an act or a reconstruction. Or possibly three experienced operators taking on identities so blatantly false but so meticulously created that no one can find the seams where they were stitched together. The NYPD certainly tries, and they seem to be far from alone in their attempts. But whoever and whatever these fascinating detectives were once upon a time, in the here and now, they're the best chance that the city has of closing the toughest of cases, from a fake kidnapping to an impossible art theft to a real and really old body dump site under the subway and everything in between and all the way up to the mayor's office, along with the murder of a young forgotten girl on the floor of a bakery. Escape rating A. To say I had misgivings going into this one would be an understatement. James Patterson is a publishing juggernaut, so at one point I felt sort of obligated to try one of his books just to see what all the fuss was about, because there certainly is lots of fuss. The book was First to Die, the first book in his Women's Murder Club series, and I cannot get into it and had not been tempted back. Until now, because I can't resist a Sherlock Holmes pastiche, no matter how tangential, and got grabbed by the title of this book and couldn't talk myself out of it. I'm very glad that I didn't, because Holmes, Marple, and Poe is a terrifically fun read. Whether you are there for the hints of the mystery giants they named themselves for, or are just there to help figure out who done it. What made this so much fun was that it exists on two tracks. On the one hand, there's the mystery wrapped around the identities of the people hiding behind those famous names. We don't even get hints, merely a few unsubstantiated rumors. But we do get the fun of watching several investigations chase their own tails trying to figure it out. Also, the fun of figuring out how those names are meant to reinforce the resemblance. See, August Dupin was the detective in what is arguably the first detective story, The Murders in the Rue Morgue, written by Edgar Allan Poe. Margaret Rutherford was one of the earliest and most famous actresses to play the oft-portrayed Miss Jane Marple on the silver screen. I'm still puzzling about who Brendan was in relation to either Sherlock Holmes or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, but I just know I'm going to face palm when I figure it out. On the other and much more prominent hand in this story, we get to watch three investigators who are all mostly and more or less at the top of their respective games follow the trails of several bizarre crimes to a grand conclusion that ties all the cases up. Not each in their own neat bow, but in one gigantic neat bow, with a couple of smaller bows hanging off the side. The way that one clue led to another, even in cases that did not seem like they had anything to contribute to the whole of the thing, gave me vibes of one of my favorite mystery series, J.D. Robb's In-Death series. I even see the nucleus of the Scooby Gang forming, including a demon cat and a gigantic hound named, of course, Baskerville. In other words, the particular string of cases they follow is riveting, and I enjoy the vibe of the gang coming together so much that I would love to see more of it all. If Holmes, Marple, and Poe turned out to be the first book in a series, I'd be utterly thrilled and absolutely there for it. Again, the book is called Holmes, Marple, and Poe, The Greatest Crime-Solving Team of the 21st Century. And it was written by James Patterson along with Brian Sitz, and that review was done in January of this year by Marlene Harris. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today. As I mentioned earlier, death is certainly on the subject for several of the books that we're talking about on this month's program. Let's continue with another one now. This is a book entitled Manner of Death, and it was written by Robin Cook. Here's the plot for this one. After Dr. Jack Stapleton's near-death confrontation with a medical serial killer, his wife, New York City Chief Medical Examiner Lori Montgomery, is carrying the load both at work and at home. When Lori insists that Dr. Ryan Sullivan, an underperforming senior pathology resident who is spending his required month at the medical examiner's office, but who truly detests doing forensic autopsies, assist her on a suicide autopsy in hopes of stimulating his interest in the field, the last thing she expects is to be unwittingly drawing into a major conspiracy that puts her own life in jeopardy. Desperate to avoid performing as many forensic autopsies as possible, Dr. Ryan Sullivan offers to participate in a research project on a series of suicides put together by one of the medical legal investigators. These suicides, like the case Ryan analyzes with Lori, hint at some bothersome questions about their manner of death. Although the project was more of a ruse than a serious study, Ryan surprises himself by immediately uncovering unexpected shared commonalities. Most astonishing of all, Ryan's inquiries eventually put him and Lori at risk by leading to a nefarious cancer diagnostics company that promotes the very latest groundbreaking cancer screening technology in a shockingly self-serving and fraudulent fashion. Once again, the book is called A Manner of Death, and it is a novel by Robin Cook. The next death book we're going to talk about on the program is called A Wrongful Death, and it's a Barbara Holloway novel. It's actually book number 4 by Kate Wilhelm. Who knew that being a good Samaritan would lead Barbara Holloway to face her biggest challenge ever, being named prime suspect in a high-profile kidnapping? The peace and quiet of Barbara's retreat on the Oregon coast is shattered when a terrified young boy calls to her as she walks along a deserted beach. Frantically, he leads her to a cabin deep in the woods where his mother lies senseless and battered, clearly left for dead. Barbara runs for help, but by the time she returns with the police and medics, both mother and son are gone. The puzzle only deepens when, back in the city, Barbara learns that the boy she met is the grandson of a wealthy and prominent family, and that they have accused her of aiding and abetting his disappearance. With the help of her father, Frank, Barbara delves into the mystery of the missing child, only to realize that the kidnapping is a ruse for a more sinister plan, a plan that pits the meaning of family against cold, hard cash. But the more she learns, the more questions she has, and troubling obstacles continue to thwart her every move, from the justice system that employs her to the false identities of those around her. Yet none of these things compares to the shocking murder scene that awaits her. The book is called A Wrongful Death. It's a Barbara Holloway novel, book number 4, by the popular author Kate Wilhelm. Now let's take a break from murder and talk about a nonfiction book that I think you might find very interesting. This one is entitled Activate Your Vagus Nerve. That's V-A-G-U-S, your vagus nerve. Unleash your body's natural ability to heal gut sensitivities, inflammation, brain fog, autoimmunity, anxiety, and depression. And this book was written by Naves Habib. Dr. Habib's book, Activate Your Vagus Nerve, is a simple-to-follow guide to help you identify and address a major missing piece in dealing with chronic health concerns such as anxiety and depression. By activating the vagus nerve, you can optimize your productivity, focus, and energy levels, allowing you to experience the effects of upgraded health. Unlock the full potential of your vagus nerve with this transformational guide, including practical strategies to treat headache, chronic pain, anxiety, depression, and more. You can harness the power of the vagus nerve and heart rate variability in this long-awaited follow-up to the best-selling book called Activate Your Vagus Nerve by Dr. Navaz Habib. This entirely new book goes beyond activation alone to explore stressors, measurement techniques, and practical protocols to create a roadmap to a healthier, happier life. Co-written by functional medicine expert Dr. Naves Habib, this book offers an approachable overview of recent research, easy-to-implement strategies, and more with Upgrade Your Vagus Nerve. You'll learn how to understand the impact of psychological and physical stressors, such as traumatic incidents and nutritional deficiencies. Explore the intricate functioning of the vagus nerve and its connection to the parasympathetic nervous system and the microbiome gut-brain axis. Learn how to measure vagus nerve function using heart rate variability and other devices, and discover a wide range of strategies to upgrade your HRV-VN tone, including non-invasive electrical stimulation, breathwork techniques, nutritional optimization, sound therapy, temperature exposure, circadian biology alignment, and more. You can find balance, become resilient, and embark on a journey toward improved well-being with the help of the vagus nerve. This was one of the most popular books that was checked out at the State Library for Accessible Services this past month. By the way, Dr. Habib is the founder of Health Upgraded, a functional medicine and health optimization clinic located in Toronto, Canada, where he works with high-performing professionals, athletes, and entrepreneurs to dig a little deeper and find the answers to what is holding back their health. Once again, the book is called Activate Your Vagus Nerve, and it's by Naviz, N-A-V-I-Z, Habib. Now let's get back to another novel. Here is one entitled Deep Harbor, and it's by Fern Michaels. In this stirring new novel, acclaimed number one New York Times bestselling author Fern Michaels delves into the remarkable ways in which moments of crises can lead to our greatest acts of courage. Here's the plot for this one. When Carol Ann C.J. Jansen lost her beloved older brother, Kirk, in a boating accident, she came adrift. It's actually name is Kick here. Kick had taken on the role of caring for his little sister after their parents were killed in a car crash. Inheriting half his fortune has left CJ financially secure, yet needing a purpose. As administrative assistant to powerful Congressman Snapper Lewis, she's immersed herself in the exciting and often tumultuous world of politics. But suddenly the career that anchors her life is threatened. CJ stumbles upon information that could implicate her boss in corruption. When the congressman dies of an apparent suicide, the closer CJ gets to uncovering the truth, exposing one shocking secret after another, the more she wonders if she's also in jeopardy. Moving to a small New England town for her own protection, CJ gradually begins to engage with her new surroundings. Her blossoming friendship with the owner of a charter fishing boat offers the promise of much more. But before she can claim happiness, CJ must navigate a course through all her doubts and fears and trust that this time the water that took so much from her might just lead her safely home. And once again, the book is entitled Deep Harbor, and it's by Fern Michaels. Now here's a short summary of another book that's been very popular at the North Carolina State Library, Accessible Books and Library Services, for the past couple of months. It's actually called The Secret, and it's by Lee Child and his brother Andrew Child. A string of mysterious deaths, a long classified mission, a young MP with nothing to lose. 1992. All across the United States, respectable, upstanding citizens are showing up dead. These deaths could be accidents, and they don't appear to be connected until a fatal fall from a high floor window attracts some unexpected attention. That attention comes from the Secretary of Defense. All of a sudden, he wants an interagency task force to investigate. And he wants Jack Reacher as the Army's representative. If Reacher gets a result, great. If not, he's a convenient fall guy. But office politics isn't Reacher's thing. Three questions quickly emerge. Who's with him? Who's against him? And will the justice he dispenses be the official kind or of his own kind? Again, it's a Jack Reacher novel called The Secret by Lee Child and Andrew Child. Now let's turn to a book called Resurrection Walk by Michael Connelly. Lincoln lawyer Mickey Haller enlists the help of his half-brother Harry Bosch to prove the innocence of a woman convicted of killing her ex-husband. Defense attorney Mickey Haller is back, taking the long shot cases where the chances of winning are one in a million. After getting a wrongfully convicted man out of prison, he is inundated with pleas from incarcerated people claiming innocence. He enlists his half-brother, retired LAPD Detective Harry Bosch, to weed through the letters, knowing most claims will be false. Bosch pulls a needle from the haystack, a woman in prison for killing her ex-husband, a sheriff's deputy, but who still maintains her innocence. Bosch reviews the case and sees elements that don't add up, and a sheriff's department intent on bringing quick justice in the killing of one of its own. Now Haller has an uphill battle in court, a David fighting Goliaths to vindicate his client. The path for both lawyer and investigator is fraught with danger from those who don't want the case reopened and will stop at nothing to keep the Haller-Bosch Dream team from finding the truth. Once again, the book is called Resurrection Walk, and it is by Michael Conley. And we have time for one more quick summary here from another book that's been popular for the last few months. Alex Cross Must Die by James Patterson, one of the greatest fictional detectives of all time, is the site of the Dead Hours Killer, a serial murder on a ruthless mission. An airport killer targeting pilots expands his scope. Alex Cross Must Die. Drop whatever you're doing, Detective Cross, and head to Reagan Airport, D.C. Metro Police Dispatch says. A jet just crashed and exploded on the runway. The chief and the FBI want you and John Sampson there pronto. Cross and Sampson race to the crash site. The plane didn't fail. It was shot down by a stolen Vietnam War-era machine gun. The list of experts who can operate the weapon is short, and time before another legal strike runs even shorter, especially for Detective Cross. Alex Cross Must Die, very popular new book by James Patterson. And that's about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. Hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library, or call toll-free 888-388-2460. That's 888-388-2460. And you can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.